Hi, this is Beth Jones Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, in his book, The Lies We Believe, Dr. Chris Thurman writes this, quote, "Every day, whether you realize it or not, you believe lies. These lies, learned from parents, friends, society, and even the church, play like a broken record over and over in your mind, damaging your emotional health, relationships, and spiritual life," end quote. He goes on to give examples of some of the lies we may believe, such as, "Oh, I must be perfect," or, "A good Christian doesn't get angry." Or maybe you believe this one, "Life should be fair." Or perhaps, "I'm just not smart enough to do this job." Or how about, "People will think I'm pushy if I reach out to them." Or maybe, "I'm no good at making friends." Is this one familiar? "I'm just too old to learn all this new technology." Or, "I'm not pretty enough to be part of that group." And so many other lies. Do you recognize any of those that you've told yourself? Well, on a regular basis, there are many lies that we tell ourselves, and that part is normal. Look, we're human. We're human. There's no shame in the fact that those lies get planted in our heads. Satan loves to plant those lies into our head. Now, whether we choose to believe them, well, that's where we get to make the decision. Not that it's easy. Satan is very persistent, and he loves to cause us to doubt in the dark what God has promised in the light. And believing lies that Satan puts into our head causes us to doubt God in some way, and often shows up, well, as a lack of confidence and a lack of willingness to face challenges. When we doubt, it really attacks our confidence and our willingness. But we can fight this by refocusing on God and His truth. Well, this is what Joshua and the Israelites faced when they were entering the promised land. They were believing lies about God and about themselves that, well, they'd been reinforced during their 40 years in the desert. You'll remember that last week we discovered in Joshua 3 that God had miraculously led his people to cross the Jordan River by parting it so they could walk across on dry ground. Just like he had done 40 years earlier with the Red Sea, he now was parting the Jordan River for them. And the entire nation was now on the other side of the Jordan, taking their very first steps into the promised land. They were eating fresh fruit and grains. No more manna. No more quail casserole. No fresh fruit, grains, just like God had promised them. Everything seemed great. But off in the distance, just 2 miles ahead, they could see their next challenge. It was the Canaanite city of Jericho. Now, up to this point, for the previous 40 years, God's people had not faced any battles outside of their own occasional battles with disobedience with God. Not that that was a small thing, but no military battles had they fought for 40 years while they were being disciplined in the desert. So a military might, they were not. I mean, think of what they must have been telling themselves as they looked at Jericho. Oh boy, here we go again. Like grasshoppers against the giants, there's no way we can take that fortified city. We're going to be routed. It's going to be an epic fail. Oh, God knew their thoughts. So did Joshua. The lies they were believing were firmly established after all those years of wandering in the desert feeling like failures. Well, as our author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, in our book, Conquering the Fear of Failure, he writes this on page 79. He writes, "So before their first battle, they had to regroup and become spiritually and emotionally prepared. Specifically, the stigma of 40 years of defeat had to be put behind them so they could march to Jericho with confidence. That's what needed to happen to get spiritually and emotionally prepared to be able to put aside the doubts and regain their confidence. Okay, makes sense. But how could Joshua prepare this nation of fearful doubters for battle? How could he get them to exchange the mentality of defeat for the mentality of victory? Well, God told Joshua to prepare the people to take the city of Jericho by doing three things. And these are the same three things that he's instructing us when we are facing our Jerichos. First, they needed to remember the promises of the Lord with a visual reminder. We read in Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 5, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan," Joshua is instructing them. "Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So they were to take stones out of the middle of the dry bed of the Jordan and to create a monument to God's faithfulness. And seeing that monument, that visual reminder, would be just the right boost of confidence that they would need, not just then, but also into the future. Well, monuments to God's faithfulness give us confidence now, just like it did for God's people then. So think about the monuments, the memories, the images that you have that give you confidence in the Lord. Secondly, when God directed Joshua to lead the people to renew two important practices they had neglected while they were in the desert for 40 years. First, he instructed them to reinstitute circumcision for every male as a sign of God's covenant. And then secondly, to reinstitute the Passover celebration as a reminder of God's promise to protect and provide. These two ceremonies would help God's people remember his faithfulness and restore their confidence in who they were as God's chosen children. Well, just like God's people then, we are strengthened in our faith when we remember to worship the Lord and honor the spiritual disciplines he has given us. And then third, God wanted to be certain to strengthen Joshua himself before the battle. You see, God had chosen Joshua to lead his people because Joshua had proven himself faithful to God and to Moses, as well as the fact that Joshua was a mighty warrior. But even the mightiest warrior benefits from a pep talk from the coach the night before the big game. And Jericho? Well, that was going to be their Super Bowl. And we read about this in Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 13. "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' the man replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down in the ground with reverence and asked him, 'Oh, what message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." He sought the Lord. The Lord appeared before him, and Joshua worshipped him. Well, our author summarizes this way in his book, starting on page 87. He writes this: "Joshua needed to learn that he would have to pay more attention to his own spiritual life and that of the nation than to military strategy. For if his mind was centered on obedience to God, the military challenge would be solved. He would have to learn that taking charge of a city is easier than taking charge of one's own heart. Notice that the man with the sword did not respond directly to Joshua's question. He did not say which side he was on. For when God walks on the scene, he does not come to take sides. He comes to take over. Joshua now realized that the matter was out of his hands. God was not at his side to help him. God was ahead of him, asking only that he follow. It was not a matter of sides, but sovereignty. The battle was not his, but the Lord's. Oh, think of how Joshua must have slept that night, knowing that God was in control. When God takes over, he puts an end to our plans. We end manipulation because God has taken over. We end anxiety, for God has taken over. We end pride, for God has taken over. We end self-exaltation, for God has taken over. We end criticism of others, for God has taken over. God is well able to take away the reproach of failure and substitute it for the mentality of victory. That tattoo on our souls can be removed by the touch of God. Let God roll away your failures and get you ready for your biggest challenge. You know, God can and will change the lies that we believe into the truths only he can fulfill when we surrender to him daily and let him take over. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.